Hello, everybody. You're tuning into another episode of the Prospects Corner podcast hosted by Alan Perdigo Jr. and my good friend in front of me, Calvin McGowan. And today we're going to be covering two different events. The first one is going to be the NIBC showcase that was down here at Montvert Academy. And Calvin, go ahead and tell us your event.
Oh, it was the Memphis Hardwood Classic, which was an event that took place over Thanksgiving, over like the Thanksgiving week. Had what, some of the best teams in the country. Not NIBC, not quite NIBC, but we'll get to it.
Okay. Yeah, and what we're going to do is go ahead and go round robin. So I'm going to go first, Calvin go second, and we'll just ping pong back and forth, and we're going to leave some certain guys out who are going to be part of our top five. So as we're going through these teams like IMG, Sunrise, Bartlett, if you notice that we didn't mention someone, chances are they're going to be in the top five. So please stick around to the end of the video so you can hear our analysis on those guys. And I'm going to start off with IMG. We're going to talk about the number three player in the country, Keyonte George. Keyonte George is really fitting into his role in IMG, which is filled with high level 4 and 5 star prospects. So he's not doing the crazy scoring numbers that he's done in his career thus far, but he's showing us like how well he'll probably fit in at Baylor next year. And I really think they're going to love him. He's a really crafty scorer. He knows how to get where he wants on the floor. There's a step back corner three that he did against Montvert in their win. And it was just absolutely ridiculous. Like the footwork that he has, the ability to hit shots everywhere. He's really good at scoring in the paint as well. He had like a double clutch over Dylan Mitchell, who is a really explosive 6'9" forward going to Texas. He scored in every way you could possibly want him to. And I think the most important thing that he did is showcase that, especially in the closing minutes of games, he can actually be a really good defender. He turned up the intensity there, even had a charge, and the amount of three-point shooting he is going to bring to the Bears over the next year is going to be really promising.
All right, so my first player is Robert Lewis, a senior 2022 power forward, 6'8", plays for Cardinal Ritter out of Missouri. In like watching that one game, he was a solid finisher with a solid 3-point shot, you know, good athlete. Did a good job of getting into position for a rebound, had a few blocks. Like in this like one game that I've gotten to see him in so far, like he impressed me a fair bit.
Okay. Our next guy up is going to be 5-star Alabama recruit Jaden Bradley. I love Bradley's game more and more as I watch him. Last year, I just talked about the speed at which he plays the game and how he comes off screens. This year, he's showing that he can play at different speeds, and he's such a heady dude. Like, there's just like little parts of his game that he does to kind of like annoy players or like draw fouls. Like, Layden Blocker, who we'll get into later, who plays for Southern Cross, is a really good perimeter defender, and Jaden clearly knew that. So when he got in and tried to like swipe at the ball, it was like head fakes or like putting his hand right in front of him so he could draw fouls and like different things like that. He was really integral in their win against Montvert, and he just overall, he like sells plays. He's a really good floor general, and his IQ is like constantly growing. The 3-point shot is coming along. He hit a pull-up three. He hit a three off dribble. The fact that he's such a special passer at this point, and he's just like an overall drink stirring point guard who's going to make sure you get the ball. And that's going to be perfect for Alabama fans because he plays at a really fast pace and he's smart. So he's going to give you a really good he's going to give you a really good lead guard that Alabama fans should pretty much be spoiled by, considering they got J.D. Davison this year, had Javon Quinterly, and just a long pipeline of really good point guard play over the past 3 or 4 years.
All right, so my next dude is 6'5 guard and Murray State commit Braxton Stacker. You know, of course, he has good size. He's a solid passer. Like, his athleticism, like, kind of stood out to me. Did a good job of finishing through contact. Him, along with Robert Lewis, who I previously mentioned, were seemed like a really dangerous combo. And, like, I think he's going to be really good for Murray State.
Nice. Our next guy up is someone Calvin should be very excited to see coming to Memphis next year, and that's Noah Batchelor. We're looking at a really athletic 6'6", 6'7", 3-point shooter, and guys, he's automatic. Like, in every game that I've seen him play in over while he was at NIBC, or the most recent one I went down to watch at IMG's campus, where he had about 28-30 points against Tampa Catholic, he's just automatic from three. He's also going to be another athletic dude that's going to be able to defend, finish at the rim, finish above the rim. Yeah, Noah Batchelor is going to be pretty much an ideal person next to Imani Bates next year when we get to see him play point guard again. So him in the corner, him in, on the wing, is a surefire thing from three.
All right, so my next player is Eddie Ricks, who is a 6'7 junior wing who plays for Clarksville Academy. First time actually seeing him after having heard about him for a little while now. It took me a second to really see some of what everyone else was kind of seeing. But, like, he's got a decent shot, and he's, like, surprisingly slippery when, like, getting to the basket, like, kind of able to get into, like, the creases of the defense. And, you know, see, like, first impressions, again, you know, solid player. And if, like, I'll probably try and find, like, get, I'll probably try and find and see a game when I get the opportunity, so I can have a more solid opinion.
Gotcha. Next guy up is going to be Jet Howard, son of Michigan coach Juwan Howard. And again, this is going to be another guy that Wolverine fans love. He's super competitive. He's fiery. There was a point in the Sunrise game where he battled with Grady Dick trying to get his bucket back after Grady Dick hit him with a nice little move to score. And we saw more of that when they played Montvert. He was just really fiery. He's talking that talk. And he's just a really good shooter. And once you overplay his shooting, he's pretty athletic. And at 6'7", you finish well around the rim. There was a play where he split the defense for a really nice layup. Pretty athletic dude, can play defense well enough, and at 6'7", that's what Michigan does. They get big shooters, so he's going to be perfect. Really runs really well off ball, going to be able to spot up, going to be able to come off screens. Really good shooter.
All right, so we are beginning, we're almost where, like, I have a lot to start saying about players. And, you know, that kind of starts with a fairly well-known player by the name of Grady Dick. 6'8", senior wing, Kansas commit, out of Sunrise Christian. Granted, not a whole lot of notes, because, like, we kind of know what he is, right? Plays well, like, is best, you know, kind of playing, getting to kind of play off of others. One of the best shooters in high school basketball. Right, solid cutter, and, you know, just a very good athlete, but, like, he doesn't use it all the time, right? And, like, this was, and, like, the games at the Classic, he didn't utilize it like that. But, like, I know, we know he's got it because, like, we've seen the games. But, like, he still, hold up. Where's his stuff? Okay. Ah, I only put it. So, like, in the game against Bartlett, because apparently I never got around to keeping track of the other one, he put up 19 points, like, off 40% shooting. Like, most of that, I'm pretty sure, was from beyond the arc, where he went 3 of 7 from deep. 42%.
Oh, yeah. See?
Yeah.
I got a great Dick on my list, too, and we'll talk about him a little bit later. But the guy, we're still on IMG's ridiculous roster. And the next guy we're going to talk about is Eric Daly, who at this point, I feel like is just a massive talent. He's 6'7", so he's a bit of a combo forward. They got him listed at power forward on most recruiting sites. But just what he does overall is going to be interesting. He does need to improve his IQ and shot selection, but just the flashes he has are ridiculous. He can hit the three. It's not super consistent, but it's still something that he can do. He really loves his jumper at this point, especially pull-ups in like the mid-range. But his true body of work and where he's really a specialist is going to be on the defensive end because of that high-level athleticism at 6'7". He can stick multiple positions, really stay in front of them, body them up. There was some possessions where he had to guard Mark Mitchell and did a really good job. And Calvin and I will both tell you more about Mark Mitchell as this game goes on. But let's just say Mark Mitchell is going to be a guy that we're going to sing praises of. And Eric Daly was able to keep his body in front of him and slow him down for a few possessions.
All right, so my next person, and I'm pretty sure about the last one, like I haven't either kind of seen multiple times or just feel like I have a ton to say, is Rob Martin, senior point guard for Christian Brothers College out of Missouri. He's not that big, 5'11", but like he's not afraid to get up into the trees, right? Good at getting to the rim, quick. You can rush him a bit, but like he was, if memory serves, in that game, he was kind of like, with the team kind of struggling, like he kind of took over, right?
Yeah.
That kind of mentality to try, you know, keep the game alive kind of thing. And I guess I like that mentality. I also, you know, kind of like what I saw in general.
Okay. Finishing off IMG's roster is going to be Ja'Coy Hutchinson. And his one of his best things that he can do right now is finish. He's a 6'2 shooting guard, but in this role, he played a little bit more as a point guard, bringing the ball up, not really having a lot of turnovers. Because they're such a senior-laden team, there's not a ton of minutes for him, but in the time that he does have, he's just a really good finisher. Like, he can go over the top of defenders, really quick, athletic guy, and I am definitely interested in seeing in what his future is with IMG, considering most of the guys, I want to say there's about 9 players on this IMG national roster, and he is one of 2 underclassmen. The only other one is Anthony Giltz, who didn't really play much this game, but he is another guy who was considered a 4-star recruit out of the 2024 class. So those 2 guys are going to be the backcourt of the future, and Ja'Coy is going to do a really good job of into the paint.
Alright. So my next dude is, of course, 6'9 forward from Sunrise Christian, Mark Mitchell. And as Alan said, we'll get into him a little more. I believe we have slightly differing opinions of his game. Yeah, so I like his game. granted, I also felt like they played him outside too much, right? Because really high level athlete, solidly built, good rebounder. He's got a solid handle for his size and is a decent playmaker. Not much of a 3-point shooter at the moment. Like, I don't remember seeing him hit one at the Classic. I think when I watched some of the NIBC stuff, I think I saw him hit like one. But like, he does his best work in and around like the paint, right? You know, he's strong enough to kind of like press the issue to like force his way down inside. But like, you do kind of, at the moment at least, leave him at a disadvantage if you do kind of what Sunrise did and like play him outside. It's like, yes, he's got a decent handle, but like, it's not necessarily, like, he can't really create for himself with it, I don't think. And like, he's susceptible to getting to losing it when up against, you know, solid defenders. You mentioned somebody who's able to cause him to struggle a little bit. When he was outside and against Bartlett, Knox had him. Knox's quick hands, we'll talk about, like, I'll really dig into like Knox's game here in a little bit, but he's got quick hands and was able to, like, basically the entire time he was on Mitchell, as long as Mitchell had the ball, Mitchell was at risk. Like, if he was trying to dribble, Mitchell would be at risk of like coughing it up. And while I've seen with Mitchell where I guess some people consider him kind of a positionless player, I'm like, he's not yet. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if he ends up more positional, able to do a variety of things from a variety of places on the floor. But he's not that right now. He's, you know, basically a power forward with a decent handle, which is fine, right? An athletic power forward, decent handle is a very good starting point. But like, that's kind of where he's at. It probably doesn't really matter as long as he doesn't buy his own hype too much.
Yeah. So my next guy up is going to be the guy who gets us into Montvert's ridiculous, and I'll say it again, ridiculous roster. Surprisingly, one of the younger ones that I've seen Montvert have. But we'll talk about their ridiculous seniors, starting off with Vincent Uwuchukwu. Vince is a guy out of Texas, so I've been having the pleasure to watch him since about his sophomore year, and he's still pretty ridiculous. I want to keep saying these words. He's probably about like 6'11", close to 7 foot. He's a really good deterrent at the rim. He affects shots. He's a good shot blocker. He has a lot of face-up four to his game where he can hit turnaround jump shots even though he's off balance and they go in. But he's real bread and butter, and the reason why he's going to USC is for their play style, where you can really get up and down as a big man because he's so mobile. He has a solid right hand for jump hooks. Not very big, but he's the guy who's not afraid to bang with you in the post, go ahead and give you a couple bumps, get a little closer to the rim. He's always going to be a threat for putbacks because he's 7'1" and pretty agile. Let me put this to rest and have like his official height, because it's between like 6'11" and 7'1", but I want to be accurate. And look, I was right. Almost, when we averaged the two heights I gave, he's officially listed at 7 foot, 220 pounds. So he's only going to get better at going to USC. And just really interested, because that USC recruiting class is devastating. It's probably going to be a guy you're going to talk about in Trey White, who's their lone guard right now. But between Vincent and Kajani Wright, they are probably going to have the best freshman front court in the nation next year.
All right, so my next dude is Cam Corn, right? Senior center from Sunrise Christian. Seems like a a really skilled player, especially in and around the post. Can hit the three. Not the best shot blocker in the world, but like offensively he's fairly versatile and, you know, kind of very, like, if you don't pay attention to him, it's going to hurt you a lot. And, you know, I guess I'd argue kind of more of an old school big man stylistically. Yeah. I also don't think a dude hitting threes necessarily precludes him from being a more traditional big, because lots of bigs back in the day had jump shots. Not threes, but in a lot of instances, the three didn't exist anyway. But yeah, I like his game, you know, more of a traditional big. He's, you know, going to get to college, and he's going to make some big men work.
All right. My next guy up is another big man from Montvert, and it's Malik Reno. Guys, if you don't know about Malik Reno, get to know him. He's going to Florida next year, and he is probably the most efficient scorer that I've seen in this entire class. Like, not a lot of guys have a go-to move that's virtually automatic, and there are parts of the floor where you can put Malik there and know you're going to get 2 points. Like, if you put him on the right block, understand he's going to bump left hook you to death, and there's nothing you can do. The shot is beautiful, it's quick, he knows exactly how to get his place, and he's expanding his range out to the three. He had a corner three against Sunrise, and I'm just like really looking for it. Well, my bad, not against Sunrise, but against Oak Hill. He has putbacks. He's a pretty quick guy with the ball in his hands. Even though he's a power forward, he's just a technician in the post. Like, he's always had a really good left hand. Now it's going to his right hand. I think Calvin, last year when we watched some St. James games, Malik Reno, all he could do was left hand turnarounds, and they went in every single time. Now he's doing right hand turnarounds and they're going in almost every single time. Like, he's just a really complete post player, and I love Malik Reno's game. Oh, and defensively, I have to say this, he just has really good feet. Like, whether that's on the perimeter or in the post, like, he was covering wings against IMG, which is surprising when you know how good IMG's like entire roster is. Like he's definitely somebody to watch in the SEC next year.
My next player is J.R. Jacobs, a senior point guard for Bartlett High. He at the Hardwood Classic, he did not play well. He didn't. He kind of seemed like he was forcing things a little bit. Shot wasn't falling. You know, layups weren't going down. It wasn't a good performance. He did pick it. So, like, I also recently peeked in a little on, like, Bartlett went to an event in Arkansas, right? And got to play among other teams North Little Rock. His play picked up a lot with in that, right? Making shots, you know, making good passes. More of what I had seen at the platform. But at least at the Hardwood Classic particularly, wasn't playing particularly well. But like, it doesn't seem like it's necessarily indicative of how he plays in general. And like, my main note from his play there is just, like, look, when I watched him, was like, at least there he kind of overcommitted to trying to score off of the pick and roll, when like he might have been better passing, because again, he is a good passer. So yeah, I guess.
You guess.
Well, it's just like I don't feel like it's a pretty way to end that. It felt really negative. But like I still think he's a fair, like he's a pretty solid player.
Yeah. Gotta save that guy for the top five. Yeah, look, we got a really good one. I'll give you a hint, Duke commit.
Yeah.
All right, next guy up is someone that I talked about a little bit earlier in Dylan Mitchell. We're talking about a ridiculous 6'8", 6'9", athlete. Athlete is underselling this man. Freak athlete that is going to Texas University. And I believe we're now in the age of seeing the trend of really talented 6'9", 6'8". Combo forwards going to Texas where they can be molded into like some really good prospects. This guy is similar to another young man who got drafted by Portland this year. And he's just really bouncy. He understands his role in the game. He's active. He's always on boards. He's going to make your day really hard as a rotation defender because he's always going to be by the rim. And it's not like we talk about head above the rim athleticism. It's almost like head at the shoulder athleticism with Dylan Mitchell. Like he's got a second jump that's like devastating. He's always by the rim. He's a good dunker. He's a good shot blocker. He's an automatic oop, alley-oop threat. Like wherever he goes, I hope he gets the proper development where we can give him some more like ball skills and everything. But as far as athleticism goes and how he uses it, there's definitely a pro career for this young man. That's why he's regarded so highly in this class.
I am gonna skip a couple people mostly for expediency. But I guess my next person was again another Bartlett player, Matthew Stokes, power forward, 2023. He also didn't shoot super well, but he played good defense, right? Mm-hmm. Doing a good job of being in the right place, you know, kind of positioning yourself. And like he did surprisingly well considering especially like kind of to some of the size of the dudes he was asked to guard at various points, having to guard Cam Corn, who we just mentioned, Mark Mitchell a little bit, and a young man I'll get to momentarily named Isaac Jack. Who's like a 6'10", 6'11 center and is not small. But, you know, he was able to, again, play some solid defense, come up with some blocks here and there. Like definitely defensively, he's a player to kind of pay attention to. Offensively, it's a bit more get in where you fit in as far as his role goes.
Gotcha. My next guy up is going to be Jalen Hood-Schifino, and I have like the package that Jalen Hood-Schifino brings to the court for a little over a year now. He's going to Indiana University once he graduates, and they're about to get a truly terrifying two-way point guard. He's 6'6". He plays really good defense. He locks in on you. He had 24 points against Oak Hill, where he just kind of showed that if you put a smaller guard on him, he's going to take advantage of them in every way possible. Like his pull-up looked really good in this game, where he was hitting like turnaround jumpers. He was scoring out of the post. He was hitting catch and shoot threes. He's reading the defense. He had really good assists. he did everything in that game. Like, he even got out in transition for some really good blocks. I mean, not some really good blocks, but a really good dunk. And the second game against IMG was much quieter. But the thing that I love about him, he still made an impact towards the game late. He was drawing fouls. I want to say he probably went to the line 6 times in like that last 2 minutes. And it's not like IMG was fouling. He was just drawing fouls at that point of the game after being quiet for so long. And anytime you can just make an impact with the time that you have and you're the size that you are at 6'6" playing point guard, you're going to be a very valuable player to your team. And I appreciate that out of Hutch Fino.
Okay, so my next dude is junior guard out of Link Academy, Trey Green. So granted, like, I know you mentioned that, like, he was, like, at his last goal, like, he was more of a scorer. Like, he's wasn't much, like, in the games. Bruh.
Keep going.
But why are you like this? We gotta cut this. But he's not, like, at least at Link Academy, he's not that much of a scorer. Like, he can score a little bit, right? But at least in my observation, not a great shooter. But a terrific passer. Fairness, you look at the numbers from, which game was this? I think they played Fort Erie, this game that I have down for them. He actually shot fairly well. Maybe it's just, like, most of what I noticed from him were definitely the assists. It was definitely the passing. Because he had, so, like, he had, like, 6 assists in the game in question. And dang it, why is all my stuff like this? Oh, okay, I didn't have that much. But, like, solid player, like, the kind of point guard I like, who can create for others. And, like, just kind of a solid player in general, I guess.
We go from solid player to the number two player in the 2023 class because that's just what Montfort does. Kwame Evans Jr. is just a ridiculous prospect at this point. He's 6'9", he's super long, and they got him listed as a power forward, but this boy is a small forward. He's going to be a wing player from day one for the rest of his life. He got out in transition really well this game because they didn't exactly play their younger players a lot during the NIBC matchups. But against Oak Hill, he had a Euro step layup in transition that was just really surprising to show, like, how mobile and nimble he is. Because he was coming down the court pretty fast. Guy stepped out in front of him, used that long stride to move over. He also had a transition dunk in that game. And then against IMG, he hit a three. And I think that's where his true bread and butter is going to be. Like, I don't know if he's much of a creator right now because he's done so much, like, growing in his development over I want to say, like, the last year or so. And he's a really talented shooter at this point in the game. And at 6'9", when you just have that package, there's a reason why you're number two in the class. And if we're being completely honest with you, I think if Kwame Evans is in just about any other class, and this is, of course, withstanding, like, reclassing up to 2022, where he'd be surrounded by older guys, but in his specific age group, if it wasn't for DJ Wagner, he would be number one. Like, he is one of those prospects where you look at him, you see his game, where it's like, oh, this is clear cut that you are a beyond next level guy. But yeah, that's what I got to say about the man, Kwame Evans Jr. Okay.
So my next player is Isaac Jack, a 6'10 senior center for Fort Erie International in Canada. He is a young man who's, you know, big, strong, and like, he's a good finisher off, like, he's effective around the rim and a good finisher off the pick and roll, right? He's got good hands for, like, you know, going, getting the ball. At least in this event, he didn't rebound particularly well. Some of the, like, I've seen some of his other stat lines, so, like, it might have just been, you know, the two games at the Classic, but he didn't rebound particularly well. His defense was okay. He had a block here and there. And, like, he seemed like a pretty solid passer, like, good feel for, like, making the right read. And, like, he definitely seems like a dude who, you know, can definitely, like, help, like, at the next level, be the kind of dude who can, you know, help you jumpstart your offense, right? If you find yourself kind of in need of just something to go down.
Yeah. All right. Galvin, we get into the 2024 class with Mikael Tine. I saw a few things reclass him up to a 2023, which, you know, as much as I like the kid, I'm not even mad at him for moving up. He's a really crafty guard. He's probably about like 5'9 or so. Showed off a teeny bit of bounce and warm up, and I'm being disrespectful by saying a teeny bit of bounce, because when you're 5'8", you getting up there throwing down like really good dunks even off the bounce, you're clearly a athlete. But his handle, the way he creates his own shots, his quickness are all like really special. He had a contact layup against Oak Hill that really surprised me, because I haven't seen him take contact like that, even though we watched him play for Team Canada during the U16s this summer, and he didn't exactly show me a lot. Most of his things were creating for others or hitting threes that he created for himself, but he's still a special passer. He's super skilled. His speed out of the pick and roll is absolutely ridiculous. He's out here hitting. One of his best possessions was when he came down the court, hit an in and out move, hesitation, step back mid-range jumper, and there was just nothing the defense could do. Like, he's an incredibly like patient, crafty self-creator, and I like everything about Mikael Tine, and I'm so glad that I am just 2 hours away from the Montfort campus. And he has 2 more years there. Almost went to Huntington Prep. Would have been really upset by only having to see him like 2 times a year.
All right. So my next dude is Ishan Sharma for Fort Erie International. He can shoot.
Oh, yeah.
He can really shoot. Right. Fairness. Right. Like, all right. So he shot like 50% from deep on the league, like through the two games. You know, 10.5 points a game. Fairness, right? He's not giving you a ton else in terms of, like, if you're looking for other things as far as stats, you're hoping for like lockdown defense. That's not the dude, but he's not that. But like, he's also not really a liability in other ways either, right? But like, he can shoot. He off the, and really, like, all this is like off the catch too, right? Like, you know, cutting or whatever, just catching the ball, letting it go. with the kind of confidence that, like, he's used to his shots dropping, right? Like, you almost expect it to go down because he expects it to go down. So, like, of course, if a team is in need of a shooter, yeah, he's a very, very good one.
Yeah. And don't forget, Bijan is like 6'5". So he has...
Yeah, I forgot to take those notes.
Oh, look, that's another guy who played for the U16 Canada team that I was kind of like in love with. I think he shot like 45% from three through like six games on like, what, 26, 27 attempts over those four games. Like, really high level shooter. But we move on to Derek Queen, who's one of the top 2024 prospects, and it is obvious why when you see his handle and his size at 6'10". Just a really good guy who's going to be on Montvert's roster for another 2 years, which means more development, which is scary considering he's already this highly rated. And he's just going to have time to really grow and develop. And I am excited to see what we get out of this kid going future. This is more of a future pick. It wasn't a lot of production, but in the few minutes that he did play, you can see that this is one of those total package kids.
Okay. The next player on my list is probably the only one on here that's not like a future D1. And that's Devin Crockett, you know, senior point guard from Bartlett. I kind of like how he plays. Like, he doesn't make a ton of mistakes, especially, you know, given the high level scores on his team. He does a good job of playing within himself. He plays really good defense. And like, you know, the classic, he shot really well, like, not on a huge volume, but it was like, you know, 57% from the field. Like, he's good about picking his spots, right? Had like 3 rebounds a game, so, like, you know, kind of not bad at, like, finding the ball when it comes off the rim. 2 steals per game, 1 turnover per game. Like, a lot of good defensive possessions, even if, like, he's not necessarily the dude to come up with the steal, or, like, it doesn't, or, like, something doesn't necessarily end in a steal, right? And, like, he's like, the kind of player that, like, to watch him, right? I think, like, at the next level, when he gets to college, kind of a one, just a very good, like, a good perimeter defender, right? Can definitely help a defense. Pretty good at running an offense. Again, doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes. Good about picking his spots. So, right, even if, like, he's not the guy, he's still going to contribute. And, like, he, what's that phrase that gets used much? He plays winning basketball. Like, yeah. That's it.
Okay, so I am now into my Sunrise Christian section, and Calvin's covered a good bit of these guys, so I will not harp on them too much. Calvin, you okay if I just kind of run through the 3 guys you talked about real quick?
That's fine, yeah.
All right, so Grady Dick is going to be absolutely great at Kansas. This is what we expect from are 3-point shooters or specialty wings. In the first game he played against Oak Hill, he had 19 points on 3 of 7 shooting from 3. Against IMG, against IMG, he had 3 of 7 from 3. And then I want to say they played Oak Hill the next day, and he had 4 more threes to add to that list. So we're looking at a high volume, dangerous 3-point shooter that's also, like you said, really athletic. And he just makes smart defensive plays. I think he's everything we wanted from Svi Mykhailiuk, because he does have self-creation. He has a nice handle. And I think he's just going to be more aggressive than some people give him credit for. Then we're going to move over to Cameron Corhin. And I've been watching Cameron since he was a sophomore at John Paul back in Plano, Texas. And then you can kind of see what he could be, because he was young, you know, big, take a minute to develop. But now he's putting in the athleticism with the size, being able to hit cross court passes for assists, really good on the boards, hitting threes, good, a decent hedger, and being able to recover as a defensive player. And putbacks were his like bread and butter through these first couple games at the NIBC. And then we move over to Mark Mitchell, who, like you kind of already said, I'm a little bit lower than on Mark Mitchell than some other people. I do see the upside in what he could be, but at this point, his game is just like incredibly physical, and I'm not sure how that translates to college basketball or like higher levels than that. He plays through guys' chest, which he can easily do at this point. He's athletic. He's a true 6'9". He's a really good cutter. He's another guy that if you can get the ball to him in the mid post, he can beat you off the dribble, get to the rack. And if you give him space, he can just score over the top of you. His length is very obvious. He has really good defensive tools. I only saw him make one three through the two games that I watched at the NIBC. Another guy that we're going to talk about later who's in my top five, Jairus Walker, did a really good job of jamming him up when he tried to make moves. But like, I think I'm being negative on him a little too hard over like that two game span, considering that he is playing against some of the best prospects in the country. And like you were telling me when we talked about him the first time, skill development. You give him more of a handle, you give him more range on his jump shot, and this guy could easily be a really big contributor at the next level. In my first couple games watching him, his floor reminds me of Al-Farouq Aminu. Like, I think he has the size, the switchability, the toughness. I just think he has a better overall like offensive game at this moment.
Okay. So getting away from the hardwood classic a little, I did watch Bartlett's game against North Little Rock, who has Nick Smith and Kal-El Ware. And I had to watch a little bit more, like I actually had to pay attention to Smith, because I was focused on players on the other team. And when you do that, come back to a game, it looks like it's a completely different game when you're paying attention to different stuff. After viewing, watching part of another game, Smith grew on me. It's like, okay, I can understand why he's this high, because I wasn't quite clear on it before. He, you know, good shooter, can get to the rim, athletic, is a good passer. Like, I think I mentioned this to you before about how, like, they basically, like, the first play of that game, North Little Rock basically did a play out the tip, where one of their players set a pick on Stokes, and Ware just went right to the rim for a lob from Smith. And another thing I will say about Smith as well is he's a good defender.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I have a high bar for that, low key. But like, But he's a good defender, and I say this because watching him defend Knox, who we will get around to, he was basically the only, like, in the games I've seen, basically the only dude who could, like, basically keep up with Knox when Knox was trying to drive, right? Even when, you know, it ended in like a foul or whatever. Like, he didn't just get blown by. In addition, unlike a lot of other players, even other good defenders, his defensive footwork is really good. And like, that's honestly not something I think you can say about most young players. But like, his defensive footwork is really good. He's a good passer. And like, the talent is clearly there. Like, I'd like to watch, again, another one I'd like to see. Like, actually, I'd like to see some games against, you know, more high-level competition as well. But yeah, good, just a really good player, actually.
Okay. So we're still in the Sunrise Christian roster for me. And a guy that I feel like I have to mention is Dylan Hunter. Hunter was, I believe Hunter is still a Baylor commit and recently played for Ipsy Prep last year before leaving for Sunrise. And he's a really good defender. Like, if you drive by him and the ball is exposed, he's going to take that from you, go down the lane. At 6'4", he's really coming into his own, playing a point guard role, which is going to be really good because him and Keyonte George as a backcourt is going to be fairly scary for most guys to handle. He's a pretty good pretty good passer, decent pull-up shooter, has really good burst out of picks. Like, the minute he gets past his defender and just goes, he can get straight into the lane. He had a really big three throughout the game, and I just like his overall game. I can't wait to see him down in Waco, Texas.
Yeah. Of course, another player on that North Little Rock team, previously mentioned, Kal-El Ware, 7-foot Oregon commit.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Oregon commit. He kind of, I think part of it, of course, is like, there aren't that many dudes his size, but kind of able to do a bit of what he wants offensively, and, you know, does get a good chunk of boards. Is, you know, honestly, like, a fairly solid post player. He has range out to the three. I don't think he hit. But, you know, the kind of presence down low that often requires a double team, which he needs to improve on handling. He doesn't always make the right read or even, like, notice the double team until, like, it's there already. But, like, what I really liked about him is the defense, right? A real shot blocking presence, right? Like, I mentioned to you how Smith was the only person that I had seen in the games that I had watched that could kind of, like, perimeter defender that could kind of keep up with Knox, right? Well, in all the ones I've seen, Ware was basically the only dude that made him change his shot once he got around the rim. And, like, not just once, like, this happened multiple times. And especially in the second half of that game, Ware kind of buckled down and became, you know, very much a rim protector, changing shots and getting, like, blocks and helping to initiate the break and such. I think he's a really good pickup for Oregon. I'm assuming he'll probably be like a multi-year guy, right? I don't I don't know. I kind of think that I don't know how well he plays in the post against dudes his size. But he's clear, like he's a very good player and a very real talent.
Yeah. I've heard really good things about Kella where the few games that I've watched, he's kind of like waxed and waned for me. So I don't really have like a really high opinion. But I've heard guys absolutely sing his praises as being like the best big in high school basketball. But speaking of another guy who's still on this Sunrise Christian roster is Bobby Klintzman. And I don't know if you saw him while you were watching, but Bobby is, I want to say he's listed as 6'8", but I seen him walk right next to Cameron Corhin, and they were looking each other eye to eye. So he's probably closer to 6'10". He plays a 3-4 game where you can really see his perimeter skills, but at that size, he has no other option but to, you know, play both ways because he has the size. He's a really good Swiss Army knife, and I can confidently say Swiss Army knife because he's Swedish. He literally just came from Switzerland to play with Sunrise Christian. He's currently signed to Maryland to play basketball, and as a guy who can dribble, pass, shoot, and guard probably about four positions, at least three competently, he's just a really good basketball player. He's a good cutter. I already said passing, but the passing is something I have written down like several times for him to be a guy that can really play the game. And he also has shake for his size, which really surprised me.
Another dude on that North Little Rock team, and one who just from a cursory glance probably isn't getting enough love right now on the recruiting trail, is Corey Washington, 6'6 wing. Plays, like, seems to do a solid job of kind of playing within himself. Does a good job of utilizing his size against smaller players. Solid athlete. And that's, of course, kind of in addition to, like, apparently being, like, the number three dude on a team with two top 50 players in the country. But, like, he doesn't have D1 offers. I watched him and I'm like, okay. Look him up, it's like, oh, he doesn't have, oh, that's a little odd. But, everything I've seen, he looks like a very solid player and, like, could definitely help a team.
Layden Blocker is going to finish up our Sunrise Christian portion of this program. And I just love what he is as a on-ball or help defender. He's another guy that if you dribble past him with the ball exposed, he's going to take that from you. He's really tough. He's competitive. He's quick. He has a really good wingspan. Like, he can stay in front of you, and like regardless of like the position, he's like pretty strong. If you're going to beat him as an offensive player, you're going to have to go through his chest, which means you're going to get a charge. He's pretty smart about that. He'll step over and make sure you have to go through him. He's a pretty good finisher. When they played Oak Hill, he was able to get over Christian Reeves, who's a legitimate 7-footer, who's a pretty good shot blocker in this 2022 class. Solid shooter, hit corner threes in every single game, and they have him playing off ball a little bit, at least to start the game. And it's obvious when you have that many different guards on the roster or like lead ball handlers for Sunrise, but he definitely projects as a point guard at the next level, and he's just an overall smart guy with great hands and is going to be able to contribute both ways at the next level.
Okay. you have any more, I'm basically kind of just waiting to do the top five.
Okay, cool. So that's actually perfect because Oak Hill didn't exactly have the best showing at NIBC while they were at Montvert. Of course, they always have really good prospects there. Like I was saying, Christian Reeves, pretty good putback, 7-footer. Moves fairly well, a bit skinny at this point, but he's also a really good shot blocker. And then we go with Judah Mintz, and I think Judah Mintz is a ridiculous talent. That's part of the reason why he decommitted from his prior school and is really rising up the ranks as a senior guard. He's lightning quick with the ball in his hands. He's a decent passer when he really wants to be in the first game. He did more of his thing of trying to score the ball, and it's just really hard thing to do for a smaller guard when you play Montvert. Outside of their younger guys who are listed at like 5'8 and 5'9, everybody else is 6'6 and taller. So they made it really rough for him in that first game, but for my money, I can't think of a lot of guys who have more burst or more speed with the ball in their hands than Judah Mintz. He can really make plays just with his speed alone. And then we have a 6'7 guy in Devin Reed, who is more of a 3-and-D competitor. And I like that he can relocate for pull-up jumpers. He can hit the little pump fake, get you out the way. He's just kind of a do-it-all forward, but his main thing is going to be that 3-and-D. And then Chris Livingston had a bit of the same thing. He's the most highly touted player on this team. So everybody's defense was keyed in on him. But I don't know if you've ever seen Chris Livingston. He is huge. He is 6'6", probably like 215, big, strong, muscular guy that can rebound with the best of them. He's physical. He plays well. He plays smart. He can stretch out to three, but his real thing is being an athletic guy who can get to the interior and finish with a big dunk or just kind of match your physicality to go through you for different scores. They have a 6'6", 2023 big in Jeremy Gregory. Not exactly the biggest name on here, but solid positional defense. Quick hand, strong, really good finisher off dives. Then we get into a guy named Justin McBride, who he didn't exactly do much in both games, but the flashes are all there for this young 2023 forward. He's always going to be on the offensive boards. He's always going to get you a putback. He was on the under 16 team this summer that won a gold medal. He just always has like really good flashes of nice moves. And then we get into day two, where I believe they played Sunrise, and this was just a really good game for him, where he was switching on to multiple players regardless of position, and it was like effortless. Like one minute he was guarding a big, then he switched over to a wing, was moving his feet well, then he came back to the big, and he just kind of showed that he can do a lot of things, and that when he ties everything together, really gets his body right, gets his footwork and everything, he's going to be a problem. Another guy that I've been watching since his eighth grade year out of Dallas. And then we move on to Duke commit Caleb Foster. I don't know why I was drawing a blank. Last year I talked about how mature his game is. He really slowed things down this year, playing at a pretty steady pace, always making the right positions. But again, the teams that they played really put pressure on him. He just didn't have a good shooting weekend, but he's athletic. Navi is 6'4", hits threes at a pretty decent rate, and just is overall a really good guy to watch. And that finishes off my list. Calvin, let's get into this top five, baby.
All right. I guess if I go first, it's I guess first one I'll talk about is Jordan Walsh, Link Academy. 6'7" wing forward, and just and Arkansas commit, can't forget that. But he's a really good athlete.
Yeah.
Right, really good athlete. Very good at getting to and finishing around the rim. A surprisingly solid passer. The three's not there quite yet, but he'll take them, hit them occasionally. It'll come. I never did double check on this, but something I observed. I'm not sure if it was just the game I looked at, but while being a pretty solid defender in general, right? Good, solid man defender. Probably a bad idea to try and pass when he's passing his direction when he's staring you in the face. He also, I caught him losing track of his man a couple of times, right? Often meaning his man will cut back door for easy layups or something. But other than that, right, just super athletic, clearly has room for growth, right? But just plays above the rim. He's got a chance to be really, really good. And was a wonderful pickup for Arkansas.
Oh yeah. If we're quoting ourselves from past dates, I said probably 2019-ish, that for my money, I think Jordan Walsh has the potential. Actually, it was 2020 because it was during the pandemic. He has the potential to be the best perimeter defender in this entire class, and I still hold that, even though we're talking about a guy in Jairus Walker who played for IMG who is just incredible defensively. He just shuts down everybody. I didn't see a single player that really gave him a problem or that he couldn't stop. He's strong. He's physical. They have him listed at 6'8". And I think he plays like he's 6'8". But I've seen guys who are probably 6'6", 6'7", walk in front of him and either be eye to eye or a little bit taller. So there's a chance that he might be 6'6". But Houston is probably going to get the best defender in all of college basketball next year. His frame is incredibly thick. His hands are huge. He's super athletic. He can finish above the rim, no problem. Even during NIBC games, he was baiting guys into thinking they had a clean look at the rim just so he could block the shot. It was what are you doing?
You need to block that one.
Exactly. And I can't be mad at it because it was of course I can do it. Mark Mitchell, who we talked about scoring, I want to say he scored 19 and 25 respectively. When Jairus Walker was guarding him, there wasn't much that he could do. And notice that I'm only talking about defense right now for Jairus Walker. I'm not even getting into the fact that he has a fadeaway jump shot in the middle of the post. He's really strong. He can take guys off the rim, off the dribble. He can tear down the rim. There's just so much of his game that I think even at IMG, where they kind of let you play a pretty free-flowing, fast game, that I don't think he showed us yet. And when he gets to Houston and he really gets out there and plays in a system that's pretty fast and free, I think we're going to see a whole nother level of monster that comes with this guy.
Yeah. All right. So my next player is Leonard Miller, 6'9", small forward, senior, plays for Fort Erie International. I like him. He's a solid handle, right? Especially given, you know, how big he is. He's a good rebounder. I had a feeling, right? Miller and Walsh aren't... Okay, so actually, stylistically, they're pretty different. But, there is a weird amount... It feels like there's a weird amount of similarity in their games. But, for example, they're both good rebounders, but, it's different, right? Walsh, it seems like the ball hits the rim. He figures out, after it comes off the rim, he figures out where it's going. He's like, all right, I'm going to get there. Miller kind of, seems like he kind of has, a nose for the rebound, right? It's, almost as soon as, the ball... when the ball is in the air, it hasn't hit rim yet, he's kind of getting in position to get the rebound. Walsh's offensive... Miller's offensive game is a bit more developed. He already has a good three-point shot. Right? He's also a pretty good passer. I don't think he's as good as Walsh in that particular category. Miller... In the two games I got to watch, he averaged 23.5 points on 68% shooting from the floor, right? If he got it around the rim, it was basically automatic. Through 12.5 attempts around the rim a game, it was 92%. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Solid three-point shooter, shot 37% from deep over, that time frame. 9 rebounds a game. 2.5 assists. Defense, kind of work in progress. In that, I felt like he gambled a lot. Right, trying to get steals and stuff, and that often left him out of position and his teammates, kind of trying to scramble to cover for him being behind the play. Also turned the ball over a fair bit. Some of that is just he had the ball in his hands a lot. He's a high major player, I think. If he was, in the States as opposed to currently being up in Canada, I think he'd probably be a top 50 guy at least. Mm. He's got a bunch of high major offers. He's very, very good. It wouldn't surprise me, if he gets drafted at some point. Him, Walsh as well, obviously. It's just, Walsh is... He's got some more work to do, whereas Miller's a bit more polished right now.
Gotcha. My next guy is going to be Duke commit Derek Whitehead, who is probably in the same vein as being a future NBA first rounder. This is one of those guys. And he showed it in both games why he's super athletic. If he gets a steal, it's turning into 2 points and it's going to be a big flashy dunk. And one thing we don't talk about enough about Whitehead, he's going to make so much money in NIL deals because the camera loves this kid. He's going to be fun. Anytime he makes a highlight, he's pointing at the camera. He's smiling. He's just an overall, really fun dude to watch play the game. But his game against Montvert was the one that really sold me. Calvin, we talked about this in a previous prospects corner, and just when we were watching NIBC and Geico's last year, Derek Whitehead did not shoot a single three over 7 games that we watched.
He was doing all this last year.
His creation and ability to shoot off the ball is just crazy. This isn't the same player. He still has that insane athleticism. He can take you off the dribble anytime he wants. But he's going to shoot a three in your face and you're not going to be able to stop it. He's going to do two dribble pull-ups. And there's nothing you can do. He's also going to get to the rim. He's truly turned himself into a three-level scorer that I think... that game right there, if we were all putting together a one-game resume to be like, hey, I'm number one in the class, Whitehead has it. I can't think of too many prospects that would have had a better overall game than Whitehead had against Montvert, even though, not against Montvert, but against IMG, even though they lost. Nobody had an answer for Whitehead that night. Whitehead didn't have an answer for Whitehead that night. I think he went like 5 from 9 from the 3-point line. Like, he was feeling it. And that's like that's the Super Bowl for those two teams down here. Like, and I believe they play each other again in like January. I'm watching that. Every time they play against each other, I'm watching that. That's superstar game right there.
All right, so I guess my next one is MJ Rice, you know, senior Kansas commit, 6'5", playing for Prolific Prep. Just, you know, really solidly built, a really good scorer, and really high-level athlete. Like, you know, watching him play Link Academy, it's like him... And, like, Trey White, who will get momentarily, is like, y'all look like some of the best players on the floor. The way, like, with the level of confidence in your shooting, right? The like, some of the ball movement. Just, Rice is an excellent player. Now, maybe, I think, like you said, you kind of feel like he forces the issue scoring a little bit. But, like, even still, right, it's just, like, he's very good at it.
Yeah.
And like, it's kind of obvious to be like, this is why, you know, Kansas likes you, or like you had all that interest, right? And right, just at the next level, he's gonna fill it up. He's gonna probably be stronger than a lot of dudes his size. He's gonna be fun to watch, and he's gonna help Kansas win games. Like, and actually, just thinking about him and Grady Dick together is like, that's actually kind of wild now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. And Grady Dick is actually in my top 5 as well. Grady Dick last year playing for Sunrise Christian was a spot-up guy. This year, he's basically one of their lead ball handlers. He's showing that he can, of course, hit the three, but it's self-creation that he's doing now. Like, he's doing moves. When he gets a pick and roll, he can look for his man, but he's really trying to score. And even though he's like super zoned in and trying to get his shot off, he's not forcing it. Like, the minute that defender's hand comes up and he doesn't see the shot, he's making a pass out of it. And that's just showing like really good IQ. And it's something that we haven't had from our designated shooters at Kansas in a while. And I don't mean that and to say like guys like Christian Braun struggle with that. They're just not Grady Dick at this point in their career. Like, I think between the size, the athleticism, what he is going to bring to Lawrence next year, with what you said about MJ Rice, that's going to be an insane inside-out combination just from perimeter players.
Mm-hmm. And another dude I have, you know, his teammate, Trey White, USC commit, also, you know, 6'5". Also a good shooter, obviously not quite as strong, not quite as good getting to the rim, but, you know, can shoot just as well. And is a really good, like, and is a good passer, especially for the position. And, like, I actually preferred his game to Rice's, right? I recognize Rice is a very good player, but I'll take some of that extra passing, some of that extra playmaking, getting your teammates involved. Like Trey White of course, obviously, a good get for USC. You know, he's going to help with, you know, ball movement as well as just kind of, like, just the offense generally. And is the kind of player that I think other players will want to play with.
Yeah. Another guy that I first saw in Texas as a freshman, and he was showing, like, obvious talent down there. We move on to my number four, who already kind of fumbled the bag by talking about three of my top five guys. But I got to go back to Layden Blocker. What he was doing on defense is masterful. Like, whether it's on ball or off ball, it doesn't really matter. He had a sequence where Christian Reeves sealed him off, and Blocker just fought over the top to get the steal and create a loose ball and go back to the other lane. And he was just disruptive overall. And I think a guy like that that's going to give you already solid point guard play, can be able to stretch the floor as a three-point shooter and also score over seven-foot shot blockers, is just going to be a really dynamic two-way player. And he deserves a lot of respect, especially because he's only a 2023, which means we get another year of seeing what he does like this. And you remember what it was like having Kennedy Chandler. I'm not saying he's Kennedy Chandler, but we're seeing what Sunrise Christian is like without having, like, a true pure point guard. If Layden can have any resemblance of what Kennedy Chandler was able to give Sunrise Christian last year, then in his senior year, they're going to be a really talented team once again.
Okay. I'm not going to get into this too much, mostly because I just don't want to. I'm actually not super high on him, but regardless. All right, my last dude, right? Amar Knox, partially because he's really good, but also because, like, I kind of want to dig into this for a second, if you don't mind. So part of my interest in, like, trying to feel out how Knox was first, initially, you know, Memphis commit, right? So I peeked in, again, on a couple of Team Thad games, usually kind of in the middle, because the EYBL was weirdly hard for me to keep up with, time-wise. But like, even in the glimpses I saw, I'm like, yeah, this I can see why Memphis liked him, right? But, you know, a little before the start of the high school season, and I think right after I got to see him for the first time at the platform, he decommitted, mm-hmm. right? You know, one of those decommits that, at least going off of, I think an article on 24/7 was more kind of the staff kind of being, you know, pressuring you to decommit or whatever type of thing. And I didn't get it. And I'm like, all right, let's look at him. Maybe they thought they saw something that, you know, I didn't glimpse. And I still don't get it. Right at this point, what I've seen him at the platform, and I've watched three of his games, and it does not make any more sense to me now. If anything, it might make less. So let's get into him as a player for a second, right? So he is, you know, decent size for a point. He's just more as like a guard. I think 24/7 has him as a point. I think he's probably more of a point, but, you know, he's 6'3", 6'4". You know, so decent size either way. And, like, he is very, very good at getting to the rim. In, like, as I touched on when I talked about the platform, like, in a way that, like, it doesn't quite ever look like he should be as good at it as he is. Like, it just, like, it feels like to, like, just to kind of experience it, kind of just feels like stuff works. Yeah. Right? And he's a decent finisher. I feel like, how well he finishes I think it probably fluctuates a little game to game, which, I mean, that's kind of just basketball for you, right? He went like, he had a lot of attempts at the rim over the course of like the Hardwood Classic. He took like 10 attempts a game around the rim and converted like 4.5 per game through like these two games, right? He also took a lot of foul, like he also took a lot of free throws. Because even when he wasn't getting, like even a lot of instances where like he wasn't necessarily finishing, he was getting fouled. His ability to get to the rim is kind of wild because let me just give you an example. You can pull it up with like the Bartlett Sunrise game. Right, he takes the pick. Cam Corin overplays, right? Like shades hard, you know, keeping you from moving right laterally or whatever. And Knox spins back towards his pick man and like goes between them straight to the rim. He got fouled. I thought he missed the shot. He got fouled. Is a solid three level scorer. Can shoot from three fairly well. You, as any shooter, you have nights where everything hits, and then nights you kind of struggle a little bit. He's fairly solid in general. His defense, I think I've settled on, he's a decent defender. He's got quick hands and tends to come up with steals. In the game against Sunrise, he put a lot of pressure on Mark Mitchell, in the full court as well as as in the half court. He gambles a little bit with trying to jump passes, and I feel like he leaves his feet a little bit too much. Jumping to contest shots before while his man still has the dribble, for example. Or just like doing it with without fake, but didn't really like you're trying to anticipate it. Solid ball handler, pretty good athlete, but like it's like his handle and his athleticism work synergetically, right? Like it's better than the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like he needs to focus a little more about making the shot at the rim, because like it seems like your body kind of like you know what you're doing, like you don't really need to think about whether or not you need to do any of the fancy stuff, just focus on the shot and it'll come. Granted, the games I saw, the level of passing I didn't see, like there were flashes of it, but like he didn't utilize the passing all that much, more focused on, you know, trying to put the ball through the hoop. Can force things a little bit. I look at him and it's kind of just like, this is definitely a good player. Like he'll probably be almost certainly be a four-year guy, but that's fine, right? There aren't going to be too many dudes who can stay in front of him. There'll be more dudes next level that can change his shot, in part because like they're just more 6'10" and 11, I mean, and 7 foot dudes in college, right, at the level he'll probably be at, and like better shot blockers in general as well. But even with that, right, I think he's a very good player, and you know, one of the better guards in the class. I feel definitely one of the better guards in terms of like getting to the rim. It'll be fun to watch him at the next level, especially when he like probably after like that first year, maybe halfway through that second, when he really starts to get going. Also, granted, I'm not quite sure when this is going up, but like as of this recording. This is a little bit before he plays they're scheduled to play Christian Brothers, that has which has Chandler Jackson, and a day or two before they play Knoxville Catholic. Dang it, I can't remember that man's name. Who also has some very talented guards. It's, as a scout, these are definitely games to pay attention to. I don't see how Knox doesn't perform well, kind of, regardless of the win or loss. And, like, Bartlett as a team has won the games they should win, right? And Christian Brothers and Knoxville Catholic should both be winnable games. Not easy games, but winnable. I don't know. If someone feels so compelled to say their questions about Knox, like, this is a good opportunity to see if he can answer them with his play, right? Pretty much. I like his game. I think he's a good player. I still don't understand the decommit. That's beside the point. At this point, we're like a month or two back from that. It doesn't really matter.
Okay. Well, my number five, again, somebody we already talked about, but Bobby Klintman is going to be someone who arrives in Maryland and in the ACC next year, and everybody's going to be like, who is that guy? Obvious size at like 6'9", 6'10", true wing skills, and I'll just list off his recruitment as of December 15th when he really got noticed. The first team to pick him up or try to pick him up was San Francisco. Then Utah moved in. Then it was Nebraska, Santa Clara, Kansas, Virginia, Rutgers, Texas A&M, Maryland snatched him up. And then it was Rutgers who was right around the corner. So there are clearly high major teams that wanted him and saw the skill level. And I think him being tucked over in, Sweden is what was like the biggest issue of not getting him seen. And that's going to change now that he's over in the States and playing some serious high school basketball. He's going to have the matchups where we're going to see everything. And I think someone who can dribble, pass, shoot at his size, switch on several different positions, is going to be a very hectic person to plan for. And he's going to be like the guy who swings the pendulum for Sunrise in a lot of games. And I'm excited to see more of him. Especially in those NIBC matchups where he's going to be playing against a lot of other really high-level guys. So when that happens, I'm going to be glued to the TV, and I can't wait for the 2022 season when he wins, like, ACC Freshman of the Week. And I can be like, told you, just because, you know, ego, baby, make me feel good about myself and what I do here on this lovely podcast. But Calvin, that is it for our top five, and I truly appreciate you guys so much for sticking around for another episode of the Prospects Corner. Go ahead, like, subscribe, and tell all your friends about us, because the more you do that, the more we can give you content like this, where we give you a lot of names to look forward to in the college basketball scene. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. I have been your host, Alan Pettigrew. Right in front of me has been my good friend, Calvin McGowan. We're signing out, baby.